So let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, O God, this evening in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We recognize you as God Almighty, Sovereign God. God, just the Most High, you are God Jehovah, God Elohim, God Adonai, God Nisi, O God. Heavenly Father, you are our everything. And we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this privilege, Heavenly Father, to be your children. Heavenly Father, to cry out, Abba, Father, to know, Lord God, that you hear us, O God. Heavenly Father, that you are intentional and deliberate about us, O God. Heavenly Father, that you have a burning desire and passion for us, O God, by evidence of the cross, Lord God. So we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, to be able to live each day, Lord God, in the knowledge of knowing that we're loved perfectly and unconditionally. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, just for this opportunity, even to just spend this time with you and with one another, fellowship in your word, Lord God, that you might just continue to reveal more of yourself to us, that you might continue to conform us to your likeness, that you might continue to give us the revelation of who you are, that you might continue to remind us how much we're loved, how great and mighty our Father is, O God, Heavenly Father, and what, Lord God, you have for us by way of your word. So bless us, Lord God, even in this time, speak to our hearts the very things that you will for our lives, and graft your word, Lord God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, just don't show us yourself on the surface. But Lord God, engraft yourself, engraft your word, regenerate your life on the inside of us. Speak to our hearts, O God. Impact us, O God, in a special way. Heavenly Father, that you might be glorified, your life manifested even on the inside of us. Have your way, Lord God, even in this time, crucify my flesh. Heavenly Father, be in control. Sanctify and consecrate us, O God. Wash and cleanse us, Lord God, of the things, Lord God, that we've experienced, we've seen, we've heard, we've come into contact with in this day. Wash us, O God, through thy word. Heavenly Father, Lord God, that, Lord God, you just may continue, Lord God, to have your way in us. We thank you, Lord God, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 So, continuing even with our lesson, from, you know, what we've been dealing with the past few weeks, with this focus in John 14:6, we are complete in him. Christ, our everything, Christ, our only thing. And we've talked a lot about that. And tonight we're going to get get into the applied Christ. We're going to look at that this evening. The applied Christ. So we're going to talk about that. And our focus tonight is going to be, just for your reference, so you have it, we're going to be in James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. We'll see. We'll look up a little bit at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. And I think that's where we'll be on tonight. That's where we'll be. Let's just reference our focus scripture, John 14, and starting at verse 3 through verse 6. Amen. And then we'll move into James 1 and maybe look a little bit at John 1 as well. All right. Amen. John 14 verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Right? And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Right? And so we have just this conversation between Christ and his disciples, and he's letting them know, listen, I'm going to prepare a place. He tells them, I'm going to prepare a place. He has a place, right? And we heard even Pastor Wright dealing on Friday, on Sunday, talking about this place of rest, right? He's preparing a place for us. He's prepared a place for us. And he's letting them know. And they didn't really understand what he was saying because they thought he was talking about a physical place. And what God is preparing is his kingdom. He's preparing us for fellowship with him. He's preparing ourselves. So when they say, we don't know the way, we don't know where you're going, we don't know the way. And Christ's response to them being, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. And he's letting them know, and he's letting us know that he's it. He is. He's the means. He's the end. He's the vehicle. He's the destination. He's everything in between. God is our everything. We don't have to look elsewhere. We don't have to try other things. Everything that we need, more than what we need, is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the only way. I am the means, right? Meaning, I am the means for your fulfillment. I am your fulfillment, right? I am the truth, right? He is the truth. All knowledge is in him. He's the only truth. There is nothing. There are many notions. There are many falsehoods. There's a lot of error in this world, right? And we depend so much on what people are telling us on the television, on the news, in books, right? People, scholars, professors, we listen, we consult everybody else but Christ. And I want to let you know, we've said it before, there's no truth outside of Christ. I know. You see something that looks like reality. You hear something that looks like your reality, but it's a false reality. And last week we compared it to a reality television show, right? Many of us like to watch reality television as if it's real. Reality television is just as false as any other television show, sitcom, comedy, drama that you watch. It's scripted. Somebody's pulling the strings behind the scenes, and it's the same way in this life and in this world system. The devil in this world system are pulling strings. God want you to believe that what is isn't, and what isn't is. And when we don't have the truth of God in our hearts, we fall for anything. I tell my family all the time, when you're not in the Word of God, everything's okay. The devil can present you with anything and will believe it. He'll serve it up. He'll serve up a mess on a silver platter and will take it. When we don't have the Word of God in our hearts, and then when the preacher tries to preach the truth of God to you, we won't even receive it. Because our hearts have not been broken, and we're not convinced that God is the way and the truth. He's the only truth, y'all. He is the only truth. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to what you understand, what you believe, what you conceive. What did he say? In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him. In other words, in all thy ways, consult him. Let me go to the Word of God. Let me judge this decision or this predicament or this situation. Let me hold the Word of God up to it. Let me filter it through the Word of God to see if it's true. This is what God is called. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man. What I think, what I believe, what I presume is the right thing to do. There's a way that, listen, in my own understanding and knowledge, there's a way that seems right to me, and everything in me will say, wow, this is the right decision. Oh, I just got a sign. I got to do this. I got to do, man. No. He says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is what? Destruction. Because when we don't consult God, the enemy has something. He'll make it. Listen, even in the church, we got so many things in the church. Look like church, feel like church, seem like church, sound like church. Ain't got nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with the Lord. And we just ride along with it. You know why? Because the word of God is on the shelf. We've got to get the word of God in our hearts so that we know the difference. So that, listen, he said, I'll make your pathway straight. God wants to do it, but it's only in Christ Jesus. We can't go around Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, what did that got to do with the word? Has everything to do with the word of God. John declares to us in John 1:1, what? In the beginning was what?
The word.
Was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. They're one. You cannot separate Christ from the word. Later on in that same text, I believe it's verse 14, he says, and the word became flesh. The word that was with God from the very beginning manifested itself in flesh, which was who?
Christ
Jesus. That's why we can't separate the word of God from Christ. We can walk up and we can be a 500-year member of a church, belong to a church all of our lives, call ourselves saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, talk about Jesus, talk about him, talk about him, talk about him, talk about him, and we got dust all over our Bible. Not in the word of God. I'm telling you right now, you're not in the word, you don't know this Christ. I know it sounds harsh. Listen, we've got to take this. The word is how he reveals himself. This is how we get closer to God. It's the word of God received in our hearts that reproduces the life. You can't talk about, I got the Holy Spirit, I know Jesus. No, because they're one. The word, Christ, the Holy Ghost, he feeds the life of Christ in us. We've got to be in the word. Listen, we've got to get out of a spirit of religion, a spirit of tradition, just coming in, having church, right? On the surface, it's all about God's word. It's all about Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. Because we can't talk about the life until we get this. And I am the life is what he's declaring to us. He is the life. He's not a life. He's the life, meaning he is our life. Right? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, he's our life. He's not, listen, we ain't walking side by side with Jesus Christ, holding hands, skipping through the flower, the lily bed. No, Christ means to replace us. Ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, meaning shall be manifest in us, that's the glory of God. And we talk about glory, glory, glory. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in Acts chapter 17, right? In that verse, which says, in him that we live, move, breathe, have our very being, that's Christ's life instead of our life. And a couple verses before that text, he talked about it's not about the worshiping and the lifting of hands and all this stuff that we do in church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those things are bad, but that's an out-of-court praise. The glory of God The glory of God, the whole reason why he went to the cross in the middle wall partition, the partition was rent in two. The whole reason was that we might come to the place, to the holy place, in fellowship with him, where Christ becomes our life. The glory of God is about his life being manifest. That's the glory of God, y'all. That's his glory of God. And listen, when he went to the cross and he substituted himself on the cross, we talk about it. Thank you, Jesus. You took my place. And we talk about it like that was it and it's over. No. The cross was just the beginning of the substitution process. He took your place on the cross. He took my place on the cross so that he could take our place in life. The cross was the beginning of the substitutionary process. God means to continue to take our place. Why? So that he can thrive in this world. Because guess what? If we have not learned anything through this whole process of the coronavirus, the one thing we've learned is we're helpless and we're hopeless. Confined to our houses. Right? Restricted. Fighting a virus that we don't have that there's no antidote for right now. Right? God is letting us know how helpless we are without him. We need him. We need Jesus Christ. He has to become our life. And you know what the beauty of it is? He's already overcome this world. That's why we can look this whole situation straight on, head on, and declare what God has declared, that yes, in this life, we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I don't have to walk around with my head down. I don't have to feel anxious. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be on medication. I don't have to feel like there's no hope, because God has already overcome the world. He's already overcome what we're going through. He's already defeated it. And this is why he's got to replace us. Because when he's living through us, y'all, we can walk around with our heads up high. We can look people right in their face. We can tell our worst enemy that we love them and forgive them. We can witness to people in the midst of this coronavirus and talk about and declare the glory and the victory of God, because he's already overcome what we're going through. Part of the reason why our witnessing is so ineffective, because we're doing the witnessing. His life, he could do it so much better than we can. And that's why he's got to replace us, y'all. That's why he's got to replace us. So let's look here. James chapter 1. I should turn to it first. James chapter 1, I think, verse 19. Verse 20. Kizzy, can you start in verse 20 and just read through?
You'll tell me when to stop.
20, yep. Okay.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Amen. 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 So we're talking about, this is where we're transitioning here into this applied Christ, right? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about this applied Christ. Listen, if Christ is going to be out the way for us, the truth and the L-I-F-E and the life, we've got to put him on. We've got to apply Christ. And that's what this text is talking about. So we're going to talk about this tonight, when we're going to talk about our identity in Jesus Christ, continually being conformed to the likeness of Christ, so that the life of Christ, right? So that this life of Christ could be manifest. We've got to apply Christ. This is what this particular text is dealing with, right? So look at what James says here. In verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God," right? He says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness," humbly. We've got to humble ourselves, right? "Receive with meekness the" what, y'all? "The ingrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul." The ingrafted word, that's an applied word. That's a replacing word. To engraft means to become a part of, right? To engraft. You ever seen someone who's gotten a skin graft, right? And engraft, I remember my brother got into a car accident many, many years ago, and his hands were burnt pretty bad. And they took part of the skin off of his thigh, I believe. They grafted his skin and grafted it in his hands, where they basically attached, right? Attached it. And all of the, you know, I'm not a scientist like some people, so I'm not going to talk technically, but all I know is the skin was attached, right? And it became a part, as if it was always there. It attached itself, the cells and all that good stuff. It became a part of his hand. That which was on his leg became a part of his hand. There was replacement. It replaced what was there. And this is what God is telling us. The word of God has to be engrafted in the believer. Listen, y'all. It's not just enough to receive a feel-good surface type of word in the teaching and in the preaching and in your studying, and especially not in your meditation. The word of God is meant to replace us. It's meant to get on the inside. The truth, that's why he says, "I'm the truth," because the truth has to replace the error that we've been shaped in. All of these years, David declared it, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, born absent of the covering and the protection of an agreeing fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. So the enemy fed me. He shaped me. He impacted me through traumatic experiences, through words, through things that I saw, through things that I heard, not knowing Jesus Christ. And it shaped and it molded us and it created strongholds and all kinds of stuff in us. So Christ has got to come along. His word's got to come along. And it's got to replace the old principle. That's why there's so much drama and so much confusion in churches today. Because people are not teaching and not preaching an engrafted word. We're busy trying to ignite and excite and perform. I heard it in a prayer this morning. And perform. That people remain in bondage because they're not receiving anything to replace what they came into the church with in the first place. I don't know about you. When I got saved, well, I've been to church all my life. But when I got saved, my baggage didn't go away. Guess what? Ask my wife. I'm still dealing with baggage that's got to go. The word of God has got to replace my baggage. But what do we do? Oh, I'm saved. Let me join an auxiliary. Join the ministry. Get involved. Come in. Man, can't wait to get in the church, get my praise. I want to hear the music. Take my baggage, because I ain't put, you know, I still got it. I'll put it down long enough to lift my hands. I'll put my baggage long enough to cut a two-step and run to the dance floor and shout. And I'll pick those bags right back up and walk right back out to church with it. And still, and there's been no change whatsoever. That's why we preach what we preach, y'all. That's why we teach what we teach. Because God desires us to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He did not save us to be church members. He did not save us to operate on the surface. He saved us to be changed and conformed to the likeness of his son. That's his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, there are people who are in church who are going their whole Christian life totally missing their purpose. Totally missing their purpose. God desires to be our life. He desires to be our life. When he says, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly, he's not talking about our best life in this world. He's talking about his life.
That's it.
He's talking about his life. Church, we've got to get this more than we get anything else. We've got to get this because this is the foundation of our entire existence as children and children of God and believers. We've got to get this. We've got to know this. So he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Listen, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, your own selves. He's talking to the church. He's letting us know, get the word off the shelf. He's not talking about doing activities. He's not talking about go run, join this auxiliary. Go run, do this. Go run, go take this food here. Go take this food there. Go do that. That stuff will come once Christ replaces you, because he'll do it the right way. What he's saying is, don't just be hearers of the word, but be ye appliers of the word. Be ye appliers. That doing is about the application of the word of God, because with application comes regeneration.
That's right.
Comes replacement. So we've got to be not, and that's why Charles Stanley says all the time, you don't come to church to come and sit and listen to sermons. Because guess what? You are no better off just coming, sitting, and listening to sermons and listening to Bible study if you're not going to take this word and go in your closet and meditate on this word of God and allow this word to permeate your spirit and your heart. Cutting. The word of God is quick, it's sharp, powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing what? Rightly dividing asunder the what? The soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. Listen, the word has to have its way. And we don't come to just, let me check the Bible. I was in church four times this month. Check. Oh, that's five. Five times for a fifth Sunday, right? Check the box. And too many of us are checking the boxes. And we don't understand why we're in the fellowship. And that's why many will go and say unto him in that day, we was in church every Sunday. We preached in your name. We prophesied in your name. We healed in your name. We did all of these good works in your name. Oh my goodness, I was the bestest church member in the world. Did all this stuff in your name. And he will declare unto that unregenerate carnal flesh that we refuse to crucify. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I don't know you, because what I recognize is the word that's been engrafted in the heart. He's looking for, listen, y'all, at that day, he's looking for Jesus. He's looking for those of us who've been shaped and molded in the image and the likeness of Christ Jesus. That's why he said he predestinated us to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that Christ might be the first of many. We are the many looking, having been shaped and molded in the likeness of Christ Jesus. That's his purpose. It's not about your blessing, your season, your harvest. Just give him some praise. Everything gonna be all right. It's not about that, y'all. It's not about that. We've got to get in God's word, and God's word has got to get on the inside of us. And this is what he's talking about. We've got to be appliers of God's word. Listen, so he goes on and he reiterates it. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word, you in church, you listening to sermons, you shaking your head, absolutely wonderful. But if it stops right there, you're in trouble. He says, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, he's saying the typical church member that comes to church, sits and listens to sermons, being politically correct, right? Listen to the sermon and goes out the door and goes about his business and does not meditate on the word of God, does not allow the word of God to pierce their heart, does not allow the word of God to replace them. He says that we are like somebody that wakes up in the morning, crusty eyes, crusty lips, hair standing on top of your head, who wakes up, looks in the mirror, looks at themselves, and sees exactly what you look like. Sees the crust in your eyes. Sees the stuff in your teeth. Sees the stuff on the side of your mouth. See your hair not looking right. He says, you're just like that person who looks in that mirror and says, oh, okay, good. I look okay. And walks out the door and goes to work. Looking a mess. And you know what happens? What if you did that? What if I did that? What if I got up in the morning and just rolled out of the bed? I know you was going to say that. Rolled out of the bed, looked in the mirror, seen that I was a hot mess, and just turned around and walked out the door and went to work. The people at my job would talk about me. My boss would probably send me home. People would look at me like I'm crazy. That's how the world looks at us when the word of God is not replacing us. Because we claim to be Christians. We claim to be children of God. We don't apply the word of God. We don't allow the word of God to replace us. And then we walk out the door with a cross on our neck and a Bible under our arms, but no word in our heart. And people see the crust in our spiritual eyes, the crust on our spiritual lips, the hair standing on top of our spiritual heads. We look a hot mess, and that's why the church has no credibility in society today, because the word of God is on the shelf and not in the hearts of people. It's not enough, y'all. It's not enough to just come to church. It's not enough just to come listen to sermons. We've got to get in our closet, and we've got to apply this word of God. We've got to listen. We've got to apply it, y'all. And it's too many of us. Too many of us. We are standing. You know what? We're not standing on the word of God. You know what we're standing on? I hear it all the time. I ain't going to tell you how I hear it, because I don't want to cause no complexes. We are standing on our good intentions. Too many of us are standing on our, we good, listen, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we want to do the right thing. We mean well. We want to help people. We want to feed people. We want to pray for people. We want to go visit people. We want to do all this stuff. Thank God we ought to do that stuff. We sure ought to do that stuff. But It's got to be Christ. When I go and I try to minister to people in my own good intentions, you know what I do? I mess people up. You know why? Because God's got a way that's unfamiliar to the mind of man. He does not operate the way that we operate. He is unconventional in the way that he does things. And things that make sense to us are not how God operates. That's why we've got to be in submission to how he wants us to do stuff. And the way we think we ought to do stuff 9 times out of 10 is nowhere near what God wants us to do. Too many of us are standing on and operating in our good intentions. It's not, I know, listen, I know plenty of people who ain't saved who act better than people who are saved. Because guess what? It has nothing to do with your goodness. Listen, Christ is our righteousness. He is our life. It's not about that. It's about submission and surrender to the light. Listen, Peter, Matthew 16, right? Christ had just declared, right? Who do men say that I am? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, Peter, and what did God declare? Thou art Peter on this rock. He wasn't calling Peter the rock. It was his profession of Christ as our everything is what he was talking about. I built my church, right? Listen, I don't know how much time went by, but it wasn't much. Christ started to reveal to them what his plan to go to the cross and die. And Peter, right? Peter, first one, step up and say what? Oh, no, Christ. God forbid, you ain't going to die. I ain't going to let that happen, right? And what did Christ declare to him? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And the first time I read that, I asked, what did Peter do wrong? What did he do wrong? He didn't want it. His good intentions did not want to see Christ go. He loved Jesus. He did not want Christ to go to the cross and die. But this is what I'm saying. It's not about your good intentions. It's not about how you want to see people thrive and the good that you want for people. God has a way. God has a plan and God has a purpose. In any plan, way, thinking that does not align explicitly and directly with what God wants and how he wants is not the plan of God. He said it, get thee behind me, Satan. And that's what he says does. Every time we try to operate out of how we think somebody should be blessed, out of how we think somebody, what should happen or what the Lord ought to do. Guess what? 9 times out of 10, when people are going through, it's because God has allowed it. Because God's trying to get something out of the situation. He's trying to get something out of us. He's trying to bring his life forward through us. That's why I stopped praying, God, remove this. God, have your way. Reveal yourself to this individual in the midst of what they're going through so that they can see your love. So that they will turn it over to you, so that you could lead them in the direction that you would have them to go. I don't know the will of God. I don't know what God has planned. Guess what? Guess who knows? He knows. He knows. Oh, Lord, take it away. They're going through right now. Take it away. Take it away. No, God, have your way. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient, and God, you are sovereign. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. Either you caused it or you allowed it. Lord, reveal yourself in the midst of it so that they can see you, that you can guide them through this thing. When Christ is our life, church, he's got to be. He's got to be our life. It's not about our good intent. We've got to take this. This word has got to be engrafted in us so that Christ might continue to regenerate and reproduce his life. He says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets. Because when you ain't in the word, you'll forget. This world, everything that we see, everything we're exposed to, it's a huge distraction. All the tapes playing in the background. It's easy when the word of God is not engrafted, when we're only hearers of the word and not appliers or doers of the word. When the word is not having its way in us, we will forget. Your mind, listen, that's why the Bible says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He didn't say nothing about your mind. The word has got to get in our heart, because if it does not get in our heart, the minute we run into trials, the minute we run into tribulation, we forget. We forget. We forget what God has said to us, what God has promised us. We forget that God is our refuge. We forget all that stuff. And next thing you know what, we got anxiety, panic, worry. Next thing you know, we on some pills. We drinking something we ain't got nothing to drink. We trying to cope, looking for a way of escape outside of Christ. Because we've got to be doers of God's word. That don't even mean obeyers. Listen, y'all, because many say, oh, that means I got to obey. Nope. What he's talking about in context here is the application of God's word. The word will do itself. Once the word gets in your heart, he will do, because it's the life of Christ. He will act. He will react. He will go. He will minister. He will respond. Not your responsibility. That's his responsibility. But first, he's got to get on the inside. We've got to be appliers of God's word. We've got to be appliers. He said, but whoso looketh into the what, y'all? Perfect law of liberty. The word of God. The law of what? Liberty. Our freedom. Our deliverance. The perfect law of liberty. And does what, y'all? And continue with. And continueth. What did Jesus tell all those that believed in him after he preached in the temple? He said he preached and many believed on him. What did he say? He said, if you continue in my word, what? Then, conjunction. That's right. Pastor Wright, he said, not continue hearing. No, applies. If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples. Meaning the word has to continue. We have to continue to apply the word. We must continue to meditate on God's word. We've got to continue in God's word. He says, then you'll be, because it's the word that shapes us. God is looking for people made conform in the likeness of his son. If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples. And that's why James reiterates the same thing here. He says the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer or an applier of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed. Many of y'all wondering where your blessing is, looking for your blessing. I've been praying, asking God for my blessing. Where am I blessing at? I don't know where it's coming. Are you in your word? Are you meditating on the word of God? You looking for your blessing, whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but your blessing is in your application of the word of God. Your blessing is not in naming and claiming. See it and get it. Whatever the latest, whatever, you know, things that we like to say. I've never heard. There's so much error. That's right. There's so much error in church today. I can't believe it. It hurts me sometimes to turn on the television and see some of this stuff. You better be careful. And this ain't Minister Williams. He don't know everything, contrary to what my wife say about me, that I think I know everything. No, this is not where this is coming from. This is strictly the word of God. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. Listen, we've got to be deliberate and intentional about getting God's word in our heart. Church, please hear us. Hear us. It is critical. It is absolutely critical. And my wife just texted me and said, hey. Because I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Right? It is critical, right? He says, therein being forgetful here, but a doer of the work, right? This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen. That's our blessing. That's where our blessing is, y'all. Right? So we've got to be appliers of the word of God. This is the substitutionary process. That's why we said it in the beginning. God's substitution only started on the cross. It did not end on the cross. It was the beginning of a life of substitution. He took our place on the cross so that he could be our substitute even while we're here on this earth. And guess what, y'all? He got to be. He's got to be our substitution. I can't handle it. When I say without Jesus Christ, y'all think it's a joke, and it's not. I would be in a straitjacket somewhere. I truly believe it. I truly believe I would be, y'all, prayerfully, y'all love me enough that somebody would come up and visit me in the place, because I know that's where I would be. Because there are many nights where I've been on my knees asking the Lord to please regulate my mind. Because this devil, this world system, there's enough in this world to drive a natural, normal man crazy. That's why it's a billion-dollar industry. Because people can't cope, because this world's a mess. And if you don't believe that thing is only getting worse with all this corona stuff that's going on, I'm telling you. We need Christ. Has to be, he's got to replace. Listen, y'all, he's already won. That's why he's got to be our life, and we've got to apply him. Let's look here. We got a few more minutes. Let's look here in Colossians chapter 3. We talk about this applied Christ, and we talk about putting on Christ, and we talk about Christ being our life. And what he does is he changes our identity, right? There has to be an identity. There's got to be an identity change. We can't continue to be the same person and be in Christ. When we come in contact with Christ, the minute we're saved, he begins this process of changing our identity. And look at what he says here in Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse 10. Listen, he says, and this is Paul, he says, and have put on the same man.
The new man.
Make sure y'all still paying attention. He has put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge, not just renewed in any knowledge, but knowledge, fellowship, right? After the image of him that created him. So in other words, our new man is renewed in the likeness of our creator, of the one and of the very thing by which he created us, which is the word of God. Right? Listen, this is where I'm about to get in trouble. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, nor barbarian, nor Scythian, nor bond, nor free. But what, y'all? No, it don't say that. It don't say that. You sure it says that? But Christ is, y'all, are y'all sure that that's what it say? Mm-hmm. That Christ is, I think it says that Christ is some. He's part.
Christ is all.
He's partial. He's the majority. That's good. He's the majority.
He's everything.
Thank you, Doug. Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. Look at what he says, y'all. There is no more Greek, nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, nor barbarian. See, he was calling the roll. And guess what what else he ought to put in there? African American. Because our identity is in Christ Jesus, but the black church is a hot mess. Because everything we do, I said this was the one that's going to get me kicked out, Pastor. Everything we do is about our blackness. Don't get me. And we don't understand that's part of the stronghold and the bondage that was created 400 years ago. Ain't no different than what the children of Israel went through when they were in bondage. Still carrying. And I heard Pastor Wright say it on Sunday. They were delivered from Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. Us as black people have been delivered from slavery, but that spirit of bondage is still in us because we still see everything. I'm guilty of it too. We still see everything in black and white. Everything is in black and white. Everything. Ain't no black or white in heaven. Ain't no black or white in Jesus Christ. The only color you ought to be concerned about is red, because that was the color of the blood of Jesus. We got to get over this black thing. Stop looking for your 40 acres in a mule. Stop voting because the person is about the black people. No, we need us. Not that it's going to happen, but we need somebody saved in office. We ain't had one yet.
Amen.
We ain't had one yet. I know some of y'all don't like that one either. We ain't had one yet, because everything we do is behind. In heaven, there ain't no black section. Ain't no Puerto Rican, no white, ain't no. He said, ain't. Listen, and the Jews were the promised people. But look, he said, ain't no more Greek, ain't no more Jew. We've got to be delivered. Christ is our life. Oh, he had hair. His skin was bronze, and his hair was a wool. So he had to be black. Who cares? Seriously, who cares? Because my Bible says that he's the Spirit. He's the Word. We've got. Listen, I know some of you, probably most of y'all don't like it. But we need to be delivered. We need to be delivered. I need to be delivered. Listen, this is not an indictment. I need to be delivered. I'm quick to say when something happened, was he black? Was he white? That's the first thing I want to know, right? We need to be delivered. Because in this kingdom, in this Christ, there is no black. And Paul is, he's imploring us. Listen, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek, Jew, circumcision, non-circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is, there's only Christ. Christ plus nothing equals everything. There's only Christ. We've got to be delivered. This black church, first time I heard that, I laughed because I don't know what that is. I don't even know what that means. The black church. There is no such thing as the black church. No more than there is any such thing as the white church. There's only the church. You know why? Because the church is Christ.
That's right.
Christ is the church. And we've got to be, listen, and we've got to be delivered. We gotta be, Lord, I'm about, oh, y'all really about to get mad. I remember, don't get me wrong, so let me preface this by saying, I voted for President Obama. I did, because he was the better candidate. When you look at it in terms of politically, when you look at it through the carnal eye, he was better than everybody that he ran against. He should have been the president. But what I'm telling you was, I was in Detroit the day he was elected on a business trip for work. And I was sitting in my hotel room, and they panned to all these churches across the country, and folk was in there shouting. They was having, oh my goodness, CNN, they must have broadcast from I don't know how many churches, People was in there shouting. Because their savior had come. Seriously, because that's how we treated it. You know why? Because we're so in bondage to this black thing. Oh, I know somebody tell. And see, because the phone is muted. I know folks are talking about me right now. Because we're so in bondage to this black thing that we totally miss the God thing. And we and since, listen, I voted for him both times. I'm not saying, listen, but what I'm saying is, you want to know why this whole movement around homosexuality is so prevalent? It has ushered in this country. He's done many good things, y'all. I don't want to discredit and discount it. Many good things. But you want to talk about some of the most pervasive sin in this country today comes as a result of much of the policy that was enacted under his administration. Again, I voted for him. What my point is, we are so blinded by color that will celebrate a savior when we already had one. We always had Jesus. And just because somebody black runs for office don't mean he is your candidate because he's black. Whether it's Obama or anybody else. Personally, I like the man. I think he's a real nice man. However, let's look at the word of God. Right. We've got to look at the word of God, y'all. And just because I say I got faith, anybody can say they got faith. But faith without works, obedience, is dead faith. Yep. So my point is this. When we look at the ballot, we need to be looking through the filter of the word of God. I'm not sorry. When Christ says, I am the way, yes. I am the truth, mm-hmm. and I am the life, there's room for nothing else. And somebody is saying in their spirit right now that it don't take all that. And I'm here to let you know that that the church has drifted so far away from the word of God that these are simple truths. These are simple truths in God's word that the simple truth seems foreign. And we've got to get back. We've got to get the word of God in our hearts or else everything is okay. That's my whole point. When you don't have the word, everything is okay. The enemy can tell you anything and you will accept it as truth. The word in your mind is not good enough. We've got to get the word in our hearts. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. 3 more minutes. 5 more minutes. He says, where there is neither Greek, I'm going to read it again just so you, so I'm not making this stuff up. Where there is neither Greek, nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There is no more room. There is no more room. Only Christ, y'all. Only Christ. Only Christ, church. Only Christ, beloved. There is no more room where Christ is all and in all. This is our focus. This is our focus. This is our purpose. Listen, not saying, listen, I'm the last one. I want to tell you I obey this perfectly. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, this ought to be our pursuit. This ought to be our focus. This ought to be our purpose. There's no reason to come to church. There is no reason to come to church and go through the motions if we've not made up our mind that we want Christ to be our everything, because we're totally missing the purpose. You're spinning your wheels. You're wasting your time. Christ has to become our Christ desires to become our everything. It's the purpose for him. That was the purpose of him creating us. Let us make man in our own image. This was his desire. This is where Christ desired. It's there only Christ. Only Christ. Christ and Christ alone. So he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, because this is what happened when Christ, this is what happens when Christ becomes our pursuit. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kind. See, this is where all that other stuff that we talked about earlier goes. That's why I said we can't start. You can't put the cart before the horse. We've got to seek Christ so that then these things emanate, because Christ is continually becoming our life. Then we could start talking about mercy, right? Showing people mercy and kindness and taking on humility of mind and meekness and long-suffering. Those things don't happen outside of Christ being our pursuit. We don't just get those things out. We don't get those things outside of Christ. We get those things by pursuing the life of Christ. That's why he could say that. Put those things on. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That's why you can't forgive. That's why we're struggling. Somebody done hurt us, did something to us, in your good intentions, right? In your good intention, you want to forgive with all your old, I don't know, Lord, help me for the, help, please help me to forgive them. Pray on your knees, asking God, please help me to forgive. I can't, I don't know why I keep failing. Why is this root of bitterness still in me? Because you're seeking it outside. You want it, but you don't want Christ's life. We've got to apply Christ. If you want to forgive, don't ask God for the strength to forgive. Ask Christ for his life. Because then he's going to, when Christ becomes your life, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. That glory, the manifestation of Christ's life, who's already, see, that's the thing. You know why? Christ has already, and that's the thing. And I heard Stanley talk about this before. We hold grudges and unforgiveness against people where their sins have already been paid for on the cross. Whether they or not have accepted Jesus Christ, when Christ went to the cross, he carried the sins of all of creation to the cross. Sins past, present, and future. All sin was nailed to the cross, including the sin that your worst enemy committed against you. That's why you have no rights to hold on. You have no rights to hold on to what somebody has done for you, what somebody has done to you, because Christ already paid for their sin. That's why we've got to seek the life of Christ. We've got to seek the complete life of Christ, because when I receive Christ, I receive all that he's done. And it's no longer left up to me in my own strength to try and forgive somebody that's transgressed against me because of what he's already done. I'm receiving the life of Christ. That's why he says you got to forgive. He says it unequivocally. He says it so easily, right? What did he say? He says, love them, right? Do good unto them. Bless them. He says that, and you read it through the natural eye, you'll be like, what? Why did he just say that so easily? Because he already did it for you. He already did it for us. We've got to seek the life of Christ so that we can receive that, so that we can walk in what Christ has already done. Listen, y'all, Christ wants to live this life instead of us. And we've got to take on the life. We got to take on the life of Christ, right? He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There you go again. There you go again, telling us we got to forgive people. He got the nerve. Yeah, he do. Yeah, he do. Because he's already done it for us. Our problem is we want it without taking on his life. We want all the blessings of God. We want all the benefits of God. We want all that God has promised us without going through the road that he's given us to get it. One way. That's why he says, I'm the way. Because it's him. We need to ask for Christ. We'll start at verse 14 next week. We'll start at verse 14 because that's going to take us. If we go there, we'll be here another 45 minutes. We'll start at verse 14 next week. Amen. 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 Christ, the purpose of the believer is for Christ to become our life. And listen, y'all, it's a process. It's a process. You ain't gonna wake up tomorrow morning and be completely renewed. God's got to, he is one thing at a time. He's dealing with our stuff, but we got to put it before him. And the only way he's going to deal with it is for us to take the word of God. Take the word of God and apply it. It's a fixer. It's a replacer. It's a healer. He is a deliverer. And he's waiting. He is waiting to do it for us, y'all. He's waiting. He wants to take that burden. Come unto me, all ye that labor, trying to do it yourself, and are heavy laden, and I will give you, heard it on Sunday, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. My yoke is easy. You'll find rest for your weary souls. My yoke is easy. And my burdens are light. We ain't got to continue to carry that baggage. Baggage of trying to make it. Listen, I've been going through some stuff for almost a year on my job. And I have reconciled in my mind and in my heart. God has had to take me there one step at a time. One step at a time. That this is all him. He's in this. He is all in it. And he's trying to bring about he's got one purpose in it, y'all. He got one purpose in it. He ain't trying to prepare me for some other level of leadership or anything like that. That stuff might come. But what he's trying to do, he's trying to manifest his life. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power is not of us, is of God and not of us. You know, and what he does to get it out of us, troubled on every side, but not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that his life might be made manifest. And then he goes on and says it again, always being delivered, and those that live are always being delivered unto death. Are you kidding me? But don't you preach. Don't preach. Don't, pastor, you better stop preaching about death. Cut it out. Because the Bible don't talk about that. Always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, that his life might be manifest in our mortal flesh. That's his purpose.